because I'm weird,
but because I believe that that's what God wants. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know that it's okay to be weird?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, well, bless God. Bless God. You know what? We serve a man that walked on water. Hello?
Amen.
We serve a man that spat on a man's tongue and he began to speak. Hello? How much weirder do you get than that? Amen? So forgive me for being weird. I want you all to stand, please. All of you stand up. Right, what is our primary purpose as Christians? What would you say? Come on, somebody venture an opinion. I'm not going to... What, we are supposed to make disciples, amen, and we are supposed to live a life that glorifies God. Well, bless God for that. Who of you would like to do that? Just raise your hands and wave at me. If you don't wave at me right now, I'm going to call you forward and pray for you. Amen. Now, good. All of you take hands. Now, as disciples, we are also called fishers of what? Okay, well, there's no need to carp what you're ingetrekker along the dam, you understand? Alright, we are not supposed to fish for freshwater trout or carp or anything like that. The main thing that should be on our hearts is we should be fishers of men. Why should we be fishers of men? Let me put it to you very bluntly, because there's a heaven and there's a hell. And based on the decisions that you make while you walk on this planet, you will go to one of only two places. Let me get you to understand something nicely. When you die, you don't just go to a box in the ground and you cease to exist. Your spirit cannot die. Your spirit is life.
Amen.
When your spirit leaves your body dies, but your spirit will live forever. And that spirit can only go to one of two places. And you know what? Jesus Christ came because the Word of God teaches us, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. My friend, there is only one of two choices in this world. You either perish, which means you burn in the flames of everlasting hell, or you have eternal life with God. Which one would you like? Which one would you like for your family? Which one would you like for your friends? No matter how stubborn they are, eternal life. You see, they might not know it yet, but God loves them. Even though they might not care about God, God loves them. You know what? When Jesus was on that cross, He knew He was doing it for them, just as He did it for me. Bless God. Now, okay, good news. You are a fisher. What is a fisher supposed to do? He's supposed to catch fish. Now, when Jesus spoke to the disciples and He said, I will from now on make you fishers of men, what were they catching fish with? With a net. Amen. Now, all of you, take your net. Put it in your right hand. I know you think this is weird. Just bear with me. Put it in your right hand and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Ready for duty.
Ready for duty.
This is my net.
This is my net.
And I'm going to use it.
Now,
I want you to name the names of the people that you know need to be saved. Come on. If he's standing next to you, that's good. Let him hear you. Let him hear you talk. That's it. Name them. Now take that net, and in Jesus' name, throw it over them. Do this by faith. Now begin to pull them in. Come on, pull them. Father, I thank you now in Jesus' name that we can pull in the lost into the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you that they are going to be coming to this place and coming to churches all over Alberton, all over South Africa, all over Johannesburg. And I thank you, Lord, that Satan will not have his way with them. In Jesus' name, Satan, every name that was named before God, I claim them for the kingdom of God in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I thank you for deliverance for these people tonight in Jesus' holy name. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you. You may sit down. All right. Colette, please come forward. I would like to introduce you. If you're sitting way at the back, you probably can't even see her. You might have to just get up and have a good look at her. This is Colette. For those of you that don't know, Colette has been attending our meetings now for roughly, how long would you say, Colette?
It's a year.
For about a year.
About a year.
All right, I'm just going to wangle this thing between me and you again. So you've been coming here for about a year. I know I'm putting you on the spot because we didn't talk about this before, but what would you say, what has God done for you in the year that you've come here?
A lot. He's done a hell of a lot. He's redeemed me from so many different fears and bondages and demons and many ugly things.
Ooh, she's bold. She mentioned the word demon in the church. Oh my goodness. Wow. So what would you say? Would you say that the Lord had to sort out some seriously ugly chochos in your life?
Definitely.
And how did you feel once they got dealt with?
Free.
Much better?
Much better.
Well, bless God for that. Now, the reason why she's here tonight is because in 3 weeks' time, she's going to have a baby.
Amen.
Amen. And when she came here, she could not have children. She had a problem of barrenness. And she came and she asked us if we could pray with her, because she and her husband had been trying for how long, roughly?
Almost 3 years.
For almost 3 years to fall pregnant. And nothing wanted to happen. And one night she came forward, and we laid hands on her and we prayed for her. And I said to her, barrenness in the Bible is a curse. But it is a curse that can be broken. You've got to understand something. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, the Bible says He became a curse for you and He became a curse for me, so that I will no longer live under the curse, but I will have the opportunity to have God's blessings. Amen.
Amen.
So that means that God wanted her to have a child. You know, what was the first thing that God said to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, I'm not going to give you any lessons in that stuff, because you should know by now how that works. But yes, it is God's heart for us all to start a family. Let me tell you something. Sorry, I'm going to get back to you now. Who of you men, I'm talking to the men here, if you're a real man, you'll answer me tonight. Who of you men can testify that your life did change after you had children? Raise your hands. You know what? There's a lot of men out there whose lives also need to change. And the wonderful thing about a little tiny bundle of joy is your life shouldn't stay the same when you've had one, because they change your life. Satan hates children. You know why? Because for every child that is born, there is new potential that walks the earth. You see, he doesn't have a cooking clue what God's going to do through that little one. And he's seen many times that he cannot predict the future. Let me tell you something. You should not go to fortune tellers, because they're going to talk rubbish to you. Because Satan doesn't know what tomorrow holds, but God knows. And how many times has the devil not looked at that little bundle and said, ah, he won't amount to nothing, and then he turns into Billy Graham. Ah, he won't amount to nothing, and then he turns into Benny Hinn. And so what if he didn't turn into Billy Graham or Benny Hinn? What if he just turned out to be a wonderful father who taught his children values, virtue, how to live a godly life? Man, that freaks the devil out every single day. You see, every single person that is born on that planet, this planet, carries the image of who?
God.
The image of God. You see, when the devil looks at me, he has a panic attack.
Amen.
Because I remind him of the one that kicked him out of heaven.
Amen.
And he doesn't like me for that. And you know what? God does want us to have children. Because the Bible says children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. And so we prayed for her. And you know, I know you've shared this before, but there's a lot of new people here tonight that probably don't know. Tell us a little bit, what happened that night when we prayed for you?
That night, the last night, when you basically caught the key from heaven.
Yes, yes, that time.
Okay, well, I fell in the spirit, and I was shaking a lot. And I knew it was happening, but I couldn't stop myself. And I was trembling, and then Rion said, I'm going to catch the key from heaven, and I'm going to unlock your womb. And I actually felt something burst inside of me and sort of come out of my chest, out of my mouth. And that's when Rion said, you know, open your mouth and cough and let it come out. And I did cough, and it felt like something had left my body, an evil spirit or something that was binding me.
Amen. And within how many days after we prayed were you pregnant? I remember you told me something about that.
I found out 3 weeks later that I was pregnant.
So you were already a couple of...
Well, it was new. It was all new. It was probably... No. I must have found out 6 weeks later that I was pregnant, because I was 3 weeks pregnant when I found out.
Okay. So within a couple of weeks after we prayed for her, she was pregnant. Well, bless God. Give the Lord a hand. Now, the reason why she's standing in front here, she's going to have a baby in 3 weeks' time. How many of you know that if the devil didn't want this baby to come, there's something special about this child?
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen. Stretch out your hands towards her, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for Colette and her husband and this child that she is carrying. And tonight, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I bless mommy and I bless the baby. And Father God, I thank you that you have chosen this child to be an instrument of righteousness in your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that you take care of both mother and child, that you bless them abundantly. I thank you, Lord, that when she goes into the hospital, that everything will go like clockwork, that she will be so blessed. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Colette. God bless you. Well, amen. God is good, amen. Now, we are busy speaking on prayer. By now, you should have realized that we are busy with a series talking on prayer. Now, it was wonderful that we could hear Colette's testimony tonight, because her testimony is also a testimony to the power of prayer. Because you see, what happened to get her to the place that she could conceive and that she could carry this little bundle of joy inside of her was that Christians that believe, that have faith, laid hands on her and prayed with her that this would happen. When you went to the doctors, did they try all sorts of stuff to get you to fall pregnant?
Yes.
I won't go into all the details, but obviously they tried a lot. For 3 years they tried, but that was not the answer. What was the answer? What was the thing that provided the breakthrough in her life that brought her to the place of conception and that released life through her? It was prayer. Now we could speculate. But what would have happened if she never received prayer for this situation? I don't know. So I'm not even going to speculate. But all I can say is the moment we took the Word of God seriously, and we applied the Word of God the way God expects us to, immediately there was a release of God's anointing upon her life, and there was a breakthrough upon her life. Now, I've said this many times, and I'm going to have to say it again tonight. If you've ever wondered why it is difficult to pray, now you know why. It is difficult to pray because Satan has found out the hard way that prayer does work. Amen? And if prayer does work, whenever it works, it confounds his plans. He just doesn't know what to do to make them work anymore because somebody is busy praying. And let me tell you something, every time one of his carefully orchestrated schemes or plans go up in a ball of fire, he knows that he knows prayer must have had something to do with it. And so obviously, he's going to do whatever he can to stop you from praying. Raise your hands. Who of you have figured out by now that it's a lot of hard work to pray? Let me tell you something, man. It's easier to go and work in your garden than to pray for an hour. You could spend the whole day working in the garden and you know you'll get tired, but you won't lose your train of thought. You won't lose your rhythm. You'll be able to start and you will weed all the beds quick, quick, quick. No problem. Go into your room, close the door and say to yourself, I'm going to pray for the next hour and see how difficult it is. Within the first 5 minutes, your mind is running away in a different direction. 10 minutes later, you've fixed the car, you've overhauled the washing machine, you've planned the children's weekend getaway, and all of these things are happening. Why? Because you have said that I want to pray. Why is that happening? Because the devil might not know exactly what you're praying about, but he knows that this is going to put a spanner in the works. So he's got to do something. He's got to try and get you to stop. I've said this once before, but I want to say this to you. Just because you and I often fail to realize how powerful prayer really is, does not mean that the devil doesn't know exactly how powerful prayer is. And you know what? I want to tell you something that might astound you, that might shock some of you, but Satan does not fear Christians. He does not fear Christians. Every single Wednesday night here, we cast devils out of people. The devil did not run away from them because they were Christians. The devil ran away the moment we began to pray. Satan fears praying Christians. Amen? Because when we pray, we mobilize ourselves for warfare. We mobilize ourselves to be used by the power of the Spirit of the living God. And that just freaks him out. I wanted Colette to share her testimony again because I believe that it's very relevant to what I want to talk about tonight. I felt tonight before I started with this meeting that the Lord dropped a word in my spirit. And this word is not just for one person. I believe that this word is for many people. There are a lot of you that are in circumstances right now that I might not understand, but you feel that your life is going nowhere. The evil one has convinced you that no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you work at it, things just will not change. You have been labeled the black sheep in the family. You've got a track record. You can say to me, yeah, Rion, but you know what? I tried this and that didn't work. And I tried that and that didn't work. And I did this and I worked hard and you know what? I've got nothing to show for it. And I want to say to you something tonight. God has the ability to change your circumstances in an instant.
Amen.
And God wants to do that for you.
Thank you,
Jesus. I want you to understand something else. God is not a respecter of a person. What that means is God doesn't want to do something for one person, but then when you get there, He says, ach, you know what? I don't feel like it today. Maybe next week or maybe next year. Listen carefully. For God so loved the world, all inclusive, that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever, now whosoever does not mean white, does not mean black, does not mean yellow, does not mean brown. Whosoever means whosoever. Look at the person next to you and say, I am a whosoever. So that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen to me, listen to me. You can perish in your circumstances that you are in right now, or you can begin to live the life that God has for you. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Jesus Christ came to give us life. And let me quickly put popular Christian myth past us. There are a lot of people that have a one-day mentality. They can't wait to die because when they die, they will be free. They will be free from pain. They will be free from rejection. They will be free from all of these fears that have kept them in bondage, that they can't experience life. They can't wait to die because then they can feel better about themselves. My friend, understand something. That's just plain rubbish. That's a lie from Satan. The life that Jesus Christ has for you doesn't have to start one day in 50 years when you croak and you go to heaven. That life starts when He comes into your life. God is life. The Holy Spirit is life. Jesus made a statement once. He was standing in the middle of the crowd and suddenly He spoke up and He said, whoever is thirsty, come to Me and drink. And the Bible tells us that when you drink from the living water that Jesus Christ gives you, you will never thirst again. And the people of the day never understood what Jesus meant, and they didn't understand why He said these things to them. But you and I can understand it. What Jesus was talking about was the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is life. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive life. You would have remembered that when she shared her testimony, she mentioned that I said to her, I'm going to take the key that God has given me and I'm going to unlock your womb. What key was I talking about? The Bible says, I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you loose in the heavens will be loosed on earth. Whatever you bind in the heavens will be bound on earth, and vice versa. In the kingdom of God, things work radically different from the way things work in the world. In the world, you can say to me, this person is an alcoholic and their life will never change. And you know what? Worldly, I suppose, I can't argue with that. But then I can say to you, bring that person into the kingdom of God. Let God's keys be released into his spirit. Right now, that person is an alcoholic because there are chains around them in the spirit. There's a whole bunch of stupid devils keeping them in bondage. They don't want them to live a good, godly life. They don't want them to experience life. But bring them to a place where they will meet with the kingdom of God, where those keys will be released in their life. And you know what? Those chains will fall off their spirit. And then things can change. And let me help you to understand this. I'm not the only one that has keys. Every single disciple has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit is life. The Holy Ghost gives life. Go with me quickly, if you want to. If you don't want to, that's fine. To the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 4. For those of you that don't go to church often, Job is in the Old Testament. One day I called a lady forward and I asked her to read me a scripture in the Bible from one of the prophets. I can't remember which one. I think it was Isaiah or some. I can't remember. And this poor girl started falling apart because there she stood with the Bible and she didn't have a cooking clue where Isaiah was. So I quickly helped her. And that was the last time that I called somebody forward to find a place in the Bible. Job chapter 33. And verse 4. Let me show you what he says there. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Where does life come from? Now let me give you a very quick understanding of the Hebrew language, because I know none of you have really studied that. In both the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word breath, the word spirit, and the word wind is all the same word. All right? It's the same thing. So when you read that, you can also read 33 verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me. The Spirit of the Almighty gives me life. Now I want you to listen carefully. Listen carefully. There is a massive difference between living a life and existing on planet Earth. From the day that I am born, I simply exist. That doesn't mean that I live life. I'm existing. I'm going through the motions. I'm going to school. I'm going back home. I'm doing my homework. I'm going back to school. I meet a girlfriend. I make friends. I go to clubs. I do this. I do that. What? I'm existing. I'm going through the motions. How many of you know that I don't have a cooking clue what's inside of me? I don't know why I'm on this planet. I don't know why I'm walking here. I don't know what God has destined for me. I don't know what my purpose is. I'm simply going with the flow. But then one day, I get to a place where the Word of God is taught. And maybe somewhere deep in my mind, I've asked this question a couple of times, but surely there's more. Surely this is not all that there is. Why am I here? Why on earth have I been born in a time such as this? For what? And then one day, I'm in the right place at the right time. And somebody explains the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. And I make a choice, I make a decision that I need a Savior. I choose to give my life to Christ. And you know what? Something amazing happens. Because at that very moment, when I come before God in humility, and I acknowledge to Him, yes, I am a sinner. I've messed up a lot. Raise your hands if you've never messed up. Never messed up. And I come to God and I say, I'm sorry. I've messed up. Please forgive me. I realize, Lord, that You've made a way for me to be restored to my Father, my real Father, my Father God. Lord Jesus, please be my Lord. Please be my Savior. You know what happens? Even though nobody can see it, even though nobody around you knows, in your life something phenomenally profound happens at that moment. You know what happens? You begin to live. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. chapter where is the story about the dry bones? Somebody help me. Tani Duka? 37, thank you. Ezekiel chapter 37. All right, listen to this quickly. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he has brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. And this valley was full of bones. He led me to and fro amongst them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of this valley, bones that were very dry. And then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, and they stood upon their feet, a vast army. This is such a powerful story. Let's quickly look at what God is trying to show us there. The prophet is busy minding his own business. Now the thing is, when you are a prophet, that means God wants to use you. And I got news for you. In the New Testament, the Word of God says every single one of you are prophets of God. That means God wants to use you. So one night when you're sleeping in your bed and suddenly the Spirit of God picks you up and He takes you somewhere, you say, Thank you, Lord. You don't freak out, because that's the thing that God does. So this prophet was minding his own business, and the next moment, bam, the power of God is upon him. And he goes into this vision where he sees himself in the hand of God, and God is taking him somewhere. And as he's coming closer to this valley, he sees this valley with white everywhere. God takes him and God puts him down. Now in the beginning he didn't know what the white was. But when God put him down and he begins to walk around, he notices that the white stuff that he saw are the bones of people that are dead. Now, I'm not an expert. I'm not a paleontologist or one of these okies that excavate stuff. I can hardly excavate my garden. And I just have to say that just common sense dictates that for a bone to be very white and very dry, it has to have been dead a long, long time. Let's quickly ask the audience, how long would you say must a bone be dead before it's white, bleached in the sun?
100 years.
100 years. How long would you say? 50 years. Okay, could we all agree that it probably takes at least 50 years? Remember, there's no hair left. There's no tendons left. There's nothing. There's no skin left. It's all gone. Let's just say many, many years. All right. God puts him down. God first allows him to walk around and familiarize himself with what's happening there. And it's quite gross and gory. And he's tromping around and he sees bone upon bone upon bone. And they are all dismantled. And then God asks him this funny question. God's funny that way. God says to him, Son of man, can these bones live? What would your answer be? Are you sure? He answered me yes. But I'm thinking to myself, if God put him down in the midst of bones like that, he might not be so sure what to answer. Would you have been sure if you said yes? No. He's just guessing. Come on, if God was to put you down in the midst of a valley with dry bones and he said to you, son of man, in other words, my son, can these bones live? It would be very difficult for you to say yes. And you know what? This prophet couldn't get it over his heart to say yes, because his heart wanted to say yes, but his mind said never. And he was caught in a struggle where his mind was saying to him, listen, young man, for something to look like this, they've been dead for 100 years. Ain't no way you're going to get life in them. Don't worry, there's no flesh, there's no arteries, there's no nervous system, there's nothing. And even the bones are not connected to one another. Come on, that's how our minds think. You sitting in a marriage tonight where there's big problems in your marriage. And the devil says to you, listen, yeah, just look at the dry bones. You and your wife have been fighting like cat and dog for the last 50 years. You can't stand one another. You've moved into another room. She won't talk to you. Come on, it's never going to work. And you see, this prophet was going through exactly the same thing. God asked him a question. In his heart, he knows for God anything is possible. In his mind, he thinks, this will never work. So he chooses the easy way out. He says, Lord, you alone know. And he was right. Because God does know. And I want you to understand something. We all go through the same stuff. All of us are sometimes confronted with a big problem. Just as big as the valley of dry bones that this prophet saw. Sometimes it's our finances. Let's talk openly. This country is in a crisis. Worldwide, people are suffering. Companies that used to be strong are closing down. People are being retrenched everywhere. Some companies, I heard the other day, I think it's Volkswagen, is only open one day or 2 days a week. That means that you're not going to get your full pay. And you know what? The devil is sitting on the shoulders of a lot of people in this country saying, you've had it, brother. You'll never recover. Where's your God now? And you know what? You're in exactly the same place as this prophet. You are looking at a bunch of dry bones and God's speaking to you tonight and he says, can I change your circumstances?
Amen.
Is there hope for your marriage? Is there hope for your bank account? Is there hope for your relationship with your son, even though you haven't spoken in the last 20 years? And your heart wants to say yes, but your mind says it won't work. Then God spoke to him. And God showed him how this thing can work. God said to him, prophesy, son of man, prophesy. What happens when a prophet of God speaks? Things happen. When a prophet of God speaks, things will happen. I can't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha. At one stage, the city was besieged. I think the siege had lasted for 7 years. A donkey's head was selling for something like 3,000 pieces of silver or something ridiculous like that. A donkey's head. And it probably still had maggots crawling in and out of it. And people would pay a fortune just to get that piece of rotten meat because that's all that there was to eat. Now, all that the Bible is trying to show us is there was no food. And the king called in the prophet. And he said, listen, young man, what on earth is going on here? Just talk to that God of yours. Find out what's happening here. And the prophet said, by tomorrow, the siege will be broken and food will sell for ridiculously low prices. I can't remember the exact figures, but something like a couple of pennies. You will be able to buy a whole bushel of wheat for a couple of pennies. And they were saying that normal trading will be restored by tomorrow. Now, my friend, if you have been going through a drought for 7 years and nothing has changed in 7 years, would you believe what that man says? Huh? Because, come on, think of it. You must first put seed in the ground, then you must water it, then it must begin to grow, then you can harvest it, then you can sell it. How long does that take? Peter, you used to be a farmer. When you put a million in the ground, how long before you can harvest it? 5 months. Now come on, the prophet of God said, by tomorrow you will resume normal trading in the city. How many of you know that the king thought he was mad? There was no dacha by that time. You understand? He didn't smoke nothing. The only thing he probably smelled was his socks. And I don't know if they had socks in those days. But the Spirit of God spoke and he prophesied it. He spoke the word of God.
Amen.
You know what happened? For those of you that never read the story, it's amazing what God can do. It turns out there is this bunch of lepers. Now, a leper in those days was a total outcast. They had no rights. They couldn't vote. They couldn't do nothing. They had to live outside the city. Nobody wanted to spend time with them. They were totally useless. The lepers started tromping around nervously. They actually wanted to get into the city because even they were suffering because there was nothing to eat. The Philistines were encamped right around the Israelites. And you know what God did? God worked in the hearts of these lepers. And they decided, you know what? I'd rather die by the hand of my enemy than die of hunger. Let's march over to the Philistines and hand ourselves over. At least if they kill us, we will die quickly. And so they all took hands and they began to, I don't know if they had hands, but they started marching down. They started marching down. And you know, the funny thing is, the Spirit of God came upon all of them. You know what? There's a whole sermon there. Even though people can treat you as a leper, nobody wants nothing to do with you, the Spirit of God will still come upon you.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God came upon them. And you know what happened? The bunch of Philistines, who had all the food and all the provision you could think of, because they had to feed an army, suddenly heard a whole horde of warriors come their way. Now, all that was happening was there were 6 lepers or 5 lepers walking, you know, down the road. But the Lord anointed them, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit amplified what they were doing, and the Philistines heard an army approaching. God turned 6 men into an army. And you know what? The Philistines all looked at one another with shock and horror. And they said, man, I don't know how it's possible, but he's enlisted the help of this oak and that oak, and the kings of Egypt and a whole bunch of other kings are coming to fight us. And it turned out they were a bunch of cowards. Because they turned around, they left everything. Everything. All the provisions. All the food. All the nice stuff. All the horses. They left everything. And the Bible says they just took to the hills and they ran. For their lives. And you know who they were running from? 6 lepers. They were running from 6 lepers. And the lepers get to the camp of the Philistines. They were expecting to die. Not only did they not die, 6 lepers took the spoils of war. 6 lepers took everything that belonged to a couple of 100,000 men.
Amen.
Man, is God good or what?
Amen.
And then, remember, the prophet spoke a word and said, this will happen by tomorrow. The lepers at first, quite rightly so, thought to themselves, you know, those guys treated us like a bunch of lepers. So we'll just let them stew in their own juices for a while. We'll just let them suffer. We're going to eat all the, you know, scar boat that he earned, having a lekker, nice meal, drinking all the wines of the Philistines. And then the Spirit of God touched them, because you see, God did not allow them to have victory to take it all for themselves. God wanted to deliver his people. And then one of the lepers said, listen, young man, this is not right. What we're doing is wrong. Let's rather go back to the Israelites and say to them, you know, the siege is broken. So they went and they knocked on the gate. And they said, this is what's happened. We've gone there to the camp of the Philistines and there's nobody there. And immediately, the king of Israel sent all these troops out. And you know what? They brought back all the food, all the wine, All the horses, all the donkeys, all the provisions, the linen, the money. Remember, it takes money to keep an army going. And in an instant, in one day, there was so much food, there was so much provision, there was so much of everything, that everything in the city was returned to normal in an instant.
Amen.
Why? Because a man of God spoke. A prophet spoke. Why did I tell you the story? Because I want you to understand something. When a man of God speaks, things will happen.
Amen.
And so God takes his prophet and he puts him down in the midst of a valley of dry bones and he says, listen here, I don't care what your mind says. Here's what I want you to do. Prophesy.
Amen.
Speak life over what you perceive to be death. And so, the prophet spoke. He said, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. All the bones come together. Once you've formed a perfect skeleton, be covered with flesh. Once you are covered with flesh, be covered with skin. Once you are covered with skin, receive hair. He did it. And you know what? While he's standing there and he's prophesying, and this must have been worse than the weirdest horror movie that you've ever seen. I don't think Hollywood could do this even if they wanted to. He began to see everything come together, and as he spoke it, everything happened.
Amen.
And you know what? The whole scene looked different. Now I want to make an interesting observation. Everything did change, but nothing changed. You know why? Because there was no breath in them. What is the difference between a skeleton and a corpse? There's no difference. The only difference is how long they've been dead. To be a skeleton, you've got to be dead a couple of years. To be a corpse, you could have died a second ago. But if you've got no life, you are dead. Now, God spoke to him again. God said to him, you've done well, good for you. Now I want you to do something else. The most important ingredient is missing. What is that? Life. And God spoke and he said, now prophet, prophesy to the breath. Now what did I tell you? The word breath is also the word spirit. God said, prophesy to my spirit. Prophesy to my spirit, son of man. Call him from the north. Call him from the south. Call him from the east. And call him from the west. And speak to him that he would fill those people. And when the prophet spoke that word, the Bible says the breath of God entered them.
Amen.
And they rose to their feet and they became a mighty army. What does that mean to you and I? You and I are the dry bones. Your and my life is often reflected in the same way as the dry bones. Oh, my marriage is falling apart. Nothing will ever change. Oh, I've got no self-esteem. Nobody cares about me. I'll never amount to anything because I'm just a failure. I'm a loser. As far as you look, you see white. You see dry bones. You see death. Nobody in our family has ever gone anywhere. Now, divorce is part of our life. My father was divorced 5 times, my mother 3 times. I don't know how that works, but it might be possible. Me and my wife are fighting. It's time to divorce. You look at your marriage and you see white. You see dry bones. Now everybody in our family is always sick. I'm just going to be stuck with this until I die. You just see white. The story is about either existing or having life. There are many people out there that are like the first instance when the prophet prophesied. They have the appearance of flesh. They have the appearance of looking alive. But when you go closely and you examine their life, you realize that they've got nothing. They've got death. For without the Spirit of God, there cannot be life, there can only be death. And the only way to change your life, the only way to change your circumstances, the only way to change your problems is to receive the life that those dead people had to receive before they could rise up and become a mighty army. Now let me ask you a question. What is an army good for? What is an army used for? For war. You don't call together an army if you want to greet your neighbor, because he will not see it as a greeting, he will freak out and fight back. You call together an army when it's time to go to war and sort out a couple of problems. And you know what the funny thing is? This scripture shows us that your biggest problem that you have right now can become your biggest weapon. That low self-esteem that you've walked around with for the last 20 years, God can turn it into your best ally in the twinkling of an eye. But one key element needs to come into your life before you can have it. Life. Life. There are many churches today that are represented by the corpses lying on the ground. They look alive. It looks like there's something happening there. But the question is not, do they look alive? The question is, do they have life? Only where the Spirit of God is allowed to move and can breathe will you find life. And you know what? You need life, I need life, we all need life. I said to you earlier, we are born and we walk and we go through the motions, we exist. And all of us, come on, none of you have ever not wondered, why am I here? Who of you has actually wondered, why am I here? Why did God put me here? When you receive life, you begin to find out. When you receive life, you receive the ability to overcome the things that the devil has told you for so many years, you will never overcome this. You will never get over this. You will never get through this. It's not impossible. You just can't do it yourself. There are many people that try and do it themselves. Hypnosis. I'm going to stop smoking by going through hypnosis. Devil's laughing at you, man. You can't do it that way. I'm going to start liking myself because I'm going to do positive thinking. You're such a good person, you're such a good person, you're such a good person. You're just going to wear out your vocal cords, that's all. It's not going to change your life. We'll have to pray for you for laryngitis. But when you receive life, you will begin to live. When you receive life, your outlook on life will begin to change. And you know what? That can only come in one way. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life and fills you with the power and the anointing of His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because when the Spirit of God comes upon you, He uplifts your spirit and He gives you life. And you cease going through life merely existing from day to day, wishing that this life would be over. You begin to see a whole new world. You begin to look at your life in a new way. You begin to see people in a different way. And you know what? The problem that you had in your life becomes the army that God raises up to give you victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Into your biggest problems.
You,
well, bless God for that. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
So anyway, I was going to preach on prayer and then I got sidetracked. But there must be a reason for that. Here's what I'm going to do. Close your eyes, all of you. If I see your eyes peeping, you're going to preach next week. Now, listen carefully. I don't know you. And every Wednesday we've got new faces here. If you know that tonight this message spoke to you, if you know that you are one of those, you are either the dry bones or you are simply the corpse lying there, but you know that you are not living the life that God has for you. You are merely existing and going through the motions from day to day, trying to do it all yourself. Trying to fix what's broken, not understanding the problem. If you know that that is you, and you want to change your life, without anybody looking at you, Raise your hand and wave at me. Well, bless God. Now, here's what we're going to do. It's simple. The Word of God said, we must prophesy and stuff will happen. Are we going to do that now? I say to you that in the New Testament, we are called to be kings, priests, and prophets. I am a prophet. Not because I can prophesy or do this or do that, because the Word of God says I am. I am a priest. Not because I wear a little white thing around my collar, but because the Word of God says I am. And I am a king. Not because I sit on a throne, but because of who my daddy is. Amen. Bless God. Now all of you, keep your eyes closed. And I'm going to ask that we do this. There were many hands all over this place. But I don't want them to feel funny or awkward. So I'm going to ask you that we all do this together. I want you to follow me in making the following declaration. We are going to prophesy. And God will begin to change your life. I want you to follow me in this. Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you today. For the privilege that I have. To be in this church. For I realize now. This was my destiny. This is my purpose. There is life for me. I don't have to just exist. I can choose life. And tonight in Jesus' name. Devil, open your ears. And listen to me. I choose life. In Jesus' name. I choose to live. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I choose salvation.
I choose salvation.
I choose redemption. I choose restoration.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I prophesy tonight.
That I will be
a child of God.
I will walk
in victory.
I will be blessed.
My life is changed. And I will never be the same.
Holy Spirit.
Without you,
everything I've said
is empty words.
Come from the north.
Come from the south.
Come from the east.
Come from the west.
And fill me, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
I give you my heart.
Please fill me.
And give me life.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, forgive me.
For the things that I have done.
That are against your will.
Forgive me for my sin.
Thank you for that story.
About the lepers.
Even if people don't care.
About me.
Or for me.
Even if they've written me off.
You will still use me.
I give my life to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of the Father. And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, of the living God.
I declare to you tonight that if you have prayed this with me, and you have done it by faith, and you have meant what you have prayed, then your sins are forgiven. Then I declare to you tonight that the Word of God says that you are a new creature, and the old things are gone, and God is about to do so many new things in your life that you will be shocked and astounded. And I declare to you tonight that what the evil one has been doing against you and doing in your life will not succeed. For you have the power of the kingdom of God with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wherever you go.
Thank you, Lord.
I speak a blessing over your life. I speak a blessing over your marriage. Yes, I speak a blessing over you financially. I have the right to do that, for the Lord says to you that He is your provider and He will provide for you in whatever you may need. And I speak healing into every area of your life where you need it. God bless you, keep you safe, uplift you, strengthen you, and empower you for what He has called you to do. There is an exciting time ahead of you. For many of you will begin to discover, even in this week, what your destiny is. Please raise your hands and close your eyes. Holy Spirit of the living God. No, don't worry, I'm praying for you. Holy Spirit of the living God, the Lord Jesus said, if anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
I thank you now, Lord, that the living water of the Holy Ghost, by the power of your Spirit and the grace of God, just begins to fill them now. I thank you that all anxiety, all fear, all anger, all hopelessness, all low self-esteem, and every demon curse in their life disappears out of this place. Life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless God. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Well.